Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. I brought us in, but to keep it real, Brett Ehrlich is leading hour two today, and I'm super excited about that because I get to take a load off.
God help us, is all I gotta say. Just so everyone knows how seriously I take this job, water and hot chocolate.
That definitely means you're taking it seriously. Ida Rodriguez also joins us today, which I'm super excited about. I haven't done the show with you in a while, and I was salty about it. So now I'm excited.
Thank you for having me. And let's just give Anna one. I go super Latin. Just one more pound for that Ann Coulter debate. I was there live, and I was just floored. I was like, what is this? This is an uneven match.
I haven't talked to you really since then about it.
She killed it.
I saw the video online later and I saw Torre say, I'm not gonna say a cat fight. And I was just like, oh God. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, that was.
But you did great.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that and I appreciate it. It was fun. I had a good time. And I love Torre. I think he was trying to make a joke.
Yeah, not well.
Yeah, and like the audience was divided. Yeah. And I think he was trying to like soften the mood. And so, anyway, but it was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, he did the head nod a couple of times. And I was proud of him because he tried to be as impartial as he could be.
Yeah, he held back.
Some of the things that she said were just so ridiculous that I actually put it on Instagram that he did this when she said that Latinos were the main anti-Semitic group. And it was just like, wow.
Yeah, also the fact that she was like, oh, these Latinos are, you know, coming into the black communities and taking their jobs and making life very difficult for them. And then literally in the same debate, she talked about black on black crime.
Yeah.
And, where are the fathers? The typical conservative, like, where are the black fathers? That's the reason why. Anyway, you guys should watch the debate yourselves. If you have time, if you want to, if you don't want to, that's fine as well. And, you know,
great.
Yeah.
She was there to sell books. She wasn't there to support anything. She made points against Donald Trump that everybody was just like, why is she here? Her group. I was sitting with Trump supporters and they were like, what is she talking about? And I said, you guys, that's your girl.
That's your girl. Yep.
All right. Speaking of your girl, I'm here. All right, let's get into it, shall
we? Let's do it, yes.
Martin Shkreli, person whose name just makes you want to punch him already without even seeing him. Martin Shkreli was found guilty today on 3 of 8 counts of fraud. He faces up to 20 years in prison. He has not been sentenced yet, so it won't necessarily hit those 20. Oh God, there he is. I just want to pinch his cheeks and punch him in the face at the same time, but I won't. I will show restraint. Okay, so the case, what was the case? You've heard everything about Martin Shkreli being the guy who raised the price of a pharmaceutical 5,500%. He did not get convicted for that. Actually, what he was convicted for was a fraud case against some of his investors. He runs two hedge funds, one MSNB Capital, the other MSNB Healthcare. And what happened is he got sued for essentially illegally using his, or he got prosecuted for illegally using money from his pharmaceutical company to pay off his hedge fund investors and lying to them along the way as to how their investments were doing, essentially buying time before he raided his pharmaceutical company to pay them. The evidence as presented by the New York Times coming from this case included a threatening letter he sent to the wife of a former employee, statements he sent to MSNB investors showing great returns. At the same time, he had no money in fund accounts.
Jeez.
Three versions of a backdated agreement to make it look as if MSNB Capital had invested in Retrofin, which is his pharmaceutical company, when it had not, as well as claims about assets under management that were wildly out of line with his actual fund size. So he lied about how big it was.
You know, history is great because it teaches you to not make the mistakes that were made by certain individuals in the past, right? You don't even have to like do any extensive research into history. Like Bernie Madoff is in prison right now because of his Ponzi schemes. Like it's funny to me that he thought he could get away with this and I'm glad he didn't.
Right, so yeah, this is a lawsuit 4 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things to look back on is throughout the lawsuit, he had said a bunch of different things, mm-hmm. including this one, which was, I'm so innocent. The jury, the judge, and the prosecution are going to give me an apology. Yeah. So what is your takeaway on Martin Shkreli after this?
You know what? He reminds me of the quote from Malcolm X, the chickens coming home to roost. Because mm-hmm. I remember him bragging about that Wu-Tang album, that cash rules everything around me. And, you know, first of all, he looks like a missing cast member of a Tim Burton movie. Like, Edward Scissorhands is missing a cast member right now.
Oh
he looks
God,
so
right.
creepy. And, you know.
What do you mean? He's very attractive.
I shouldn't judge him on appearance, but I just, it's not necessarily how he looks, it's just how he carries himself.
No, exactly,
videos.
Exactly. Like, yeah. for me, it's not.
Slimy.
His physical appearance is. It's not important, but it's his ugliness inside, yeah. like the things that he says in public that just make him appear uglier, you know? Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna roll with my ugly because I'm not as dignified as these two, but I think he's, you know, I have a friend who's HIV positive, who mm-hmm. Actually acquired or contracted HIV through a blood transfusion many years ago. And when I think about his struggle in life and just a very hardworking person and his medication being jacked up with this amount, for this amount, somebody who thought it was cool and was so smug about it, you
right.
know what I mean? Was just like the whole time, every single interview, you just showed me one. Every time you see him, it's like this smug, you know, like haha, above everybody. Like it's cool to be slimy thing. So when things like this happen, it makes you feel like, oh, sometimes there is justice. You
right,
know?
I think it takes a certain type of person. And look, I'm not a mental health expert and I can't diagnose people, but it, you know, sociopaths
yeah.
can comfortably yeah. screw people over when it comes to their life-saving drugs, you mm-hmm. know? And he, you're right, he was completely unapologetic yeah. about it, incredibly smug and defiant. And so they had a really hard time finding jurors for this case because so many people knew who he was, absolutely despised him. There were people who didn't even know who he was and said that they found him like strange or questionable on face alone, which yeah. I thought was interesting. We covered that story as well. So look, I just want justice to be served.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to go after people in a ridiculously aggressive way. I just want fair justice. And mm-hmm. hopefully in this case, now that he's been found guilty, you know, his sentencing will reflect that.
But what's so crazy, definitely when I heard 20 years as a maximum for what he could be sentenced for, I took into consideration what actually his defense brought up, which is like, the people he defrauded them not out of money. He just lied to them along the way. At the end, they got paid more than their investment. Mm-hmm. It just, he lied to them along the way. And one of the weird things is, yes, I want this guy. I don't care what happens to him personally. I just feel like in a world where we're fighting so hard for like healthcare reform, yep. so many people are focused on like the healthcare law and the way that the health insurance industry is structured without really getting a lot of talk about the insane rising
gouging.
Cost of healthcare
yep.
in the first place that just keeps going up and up. And so the people have to pay more and more and more, and we need to solve it that way. But this case was not about raising the price of a drug. Daraprim on people who need it.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many lawmakers that are complicit in that type of behavior. Yeah. We see it all the time. Yes. The mistake that he made is he got too greedy and he increased the price too much. But you have pharmaceutical companies behaving that way on a regular basis. And yeah. they're protected by our lawmakers because they are in the pockets of these lawmakers. And that's the frustrating thing. And you're right. You know, we have these discussions and these debates about healthcare and the rising cost of healthcare in the country. But and then we talk about how we can restructure things and have cost controls, and all that stuff is important. But what's also important is to shift the focus on, you know, the price gouging that happens within this world. Yeah. You know, whether it comes to pharmaceutical drugs or doctors overcharging for things, that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. There are certain procedures where I'm like, I know that this doesn't really cost that much.
I just got a bill from a doctor that was ridiculous. And I will say that because I know some of the people are going to get really weird about me saying that the dude is ugly. But I truly believe that real ugly comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
And this guy, when you do dirty business with dirty people, that's what happens. And so like what you're saying, a lot of people are doing this. And he happens to be the fall guy because he got above himself. He thought that he was beyond the game, that he could walk around and he could just laugh and do these interviews. And he thought, and that's why I say it's the chickens coming home to roost, because there was nobody covered him.
Yeah.
He's taken the fall.
And it's just, it's good for the argument that health insurance companies and specifically pharmaceutical companies, in addition to saving a lot of lives, seem like they're out to get you and are, you know, being evil and raising the price. And he feels, you're right, just like a character, like a completely heightened version of reality that we can all kind of gravitate toward. And now we have a face that goes with it. But the details of what happened during this case, like he would go out immediately afterwards and talk to the press. And the judge had to say, you got to stop doing that. And then he also, during like the closing arguments or something, was reading a book.
Yeah.
In the courtroom.
He's unruly.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And then there's another thing that's it's a good thing for the prosecution of these kinds of cases, they said, according to the New York Times, in that these New York area prosecutors have to go up against these super expensive lawyers a lot of the time. And those super expensive lawyers, it's easier to recruit amazing lawyers to your firm if you can pay them the kind of rates that you're going to end up charging to billionaire pharmaceutical company
right.
heads. So this is a big win for prosecution in the district court.
He better walk into prison quoting that Wu-Tang album because he's going to need some help in there.
Oh, gosh. All right. Another court case has taken another step. Let me find this now. Okay. You may have heard the story about the girlfriend who convinced her boyfriend to kill himself. Her name is Michelle Carter. His name was Conrad Roy. She was found guilty earlier this year of, I think it was like wanton reckless behavior, encouraging her boyfriend to kill himself. And she was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. The story as it went down was you heard a lot of kind of gory details really along the way about how he stepped out of the suicide in progress, contacted her and said he was scared, and she told him to go back in there. Along the way, there were texts back and forth telling him when to do it, how to do it, really being the mastermind of the whole thing. So the sentencing came back as 2.5 years, and the sentence was far lighter, according to some reporting, than what prosecutors had hoped for. During Thursday's hearing, they asked Moniz, the judge, to sentence Carter to 7 to 12 years in prison. Carter's defense requested that she receive no jail time and 5 years supervised probation under various conditions, including mental health counseling, because she herself had exhibited behavior consistent with mental illness in addition to eating disorders. The judge explained the ruling, saying Moniz said that he did not find Carter's age, her level of maturity, or mental illness to have, quote, any significant impact on her actions. However, he added that her age, quote, offers a greater chance of rehabilitation. So they wanted 12 years. They got 2.5. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm fine with the sentence. Mm-hmm. I think that her mental health condition should be taken into account with the sentencing, even though the judge said that that wasn't taken into consideration. What she did was horrible, and I did feel like she needed to face some consequences. However, you know, at the end of the day, the person who decides to take his or her life is the person responsible for taking his or her life. Those text messages were really hard to read, and you're right. She had an opportunity to save his life, and instead of doing so, she encouraged him to go back into that car and die. And that, it's really hard to accept that there are people out there that would do that, but there are. And I think that there should be punishment. I think that 7 years, 15 years, that's a little too long. Mm-hmm. I do think there's an opportunity for rehabilitation, and I hope that she does have some rehabilitation or experience some rehabilitation.
I think you and I covered this story together before, and I would say that I agree with that. But I want to say something because the face of terror is changing. There's the cheerleader, who the young girl who just killed her baby, then the sorority girl who killed her baby, and I know people get mad at me because I bring up race a lot, but I just think it's important that this mean girl thing that has just been, it's such a big thing in our country with bullying and this whole mean girl thing. It's good to see someone face consequences for doing mean, heinous stuff. And it's not, we see young black faces all the time for all the horrific things that they do. This is terroristic behavior as well. And so with her, I had an eating disorder and I never thought about making somebody want to kill themselves. So her attorney kept mentioning the eating disorder, and I'm like, yeah, that means she hates herself and I get it. And maybe she throws up or she vomits or whatever it is. I do think what she did was awful. I don't think that she should go to prison for 7 years, but it's good to see consequences. And I love the Young Turks for covering these stories because I saw a lot of sympathy for her. And that really concerns me because it's this little skinny young white girl that is like, oh my God, you're gonna send her to prison with all of their like real scary people. She's a scary person. What she did was horrible. Like, I would rather her hit me with a car than to talk me into my own suicide.
Yeah,
like,
right?
It's just so freaking mean. Mm. And then to use that later to brag about it, which was really, so I don't think, well, she should go to jail forever.
Yeah, I mean that's, she didn't brag about convincing him to commit suicide, but she did, you know, after he died, you know, she made a big deal about it and got the community together to, like, I think raise money for his funeral, and you know, played it off as if she was like the hero in the situation.
Right,
and then the investigation turned up evidence indicating that she actually encouraged him to go through with the suicide. Yeah, that was, the story is just so horrendous. It's hard to even comment on it because it's so horrendous.
The framing that I understand that justifies her going to jail is like if this was another crime and she was the mastermind behind it, saying here's when we're gonna do it, here's where we're gonna do it, here's how we're gonna do it, and if someone's chickening out on her team during the heist, saying get back in there and do it, well, then she would go to jail. She would be culpable for that. Now, in Massachusetts, where this happened, one of the suggestions given by someone who said, so some legal experts took a look at this and said they thought that it was going to be overturned on appeal. So she won't go to jail until the appeals process is done. Mm-hmm. And some legal experts have said that it'll get overturned.
Yeah.
And the best hope for making sure that stuff like this doesn't happen in the future is to put forward a law that criminalizes coerced suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other approach to it. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that's actually a very smart idea because, I mean, if you don't have that type of law, well then, and by the way, the law needs to be written in a very specific, detailed way, right? Because you need to define what the coercion means. It can't just be like some arbitrary thing. And so having a law would make it easier to rule in these cases. Mm-hmm. Because again, the person who takes his or her own life, that's the person who's responsible for committing suicide.
Yeah.
But this was a unique case considering that body of evidence where she did really pressure him to go through with it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
The thing that bothered me the most was the language that her father used when he made a statement for the judge and he said that she would be better for it, and that I'm a mom. So I think that really bothered me to hear somebody say that someone else's death, that because of that, what she did, that she would be better for it. I think, you know, it was just, it's just,
right.
It's weird.
And we have, on Pop Trigger, we have like a lot of younger fans and just, I totally get the temptation to do weird stuff for attention. It's a temptation you can't deny. But this kind of thing, it could enter your mind, whatever, but don't do it. It's not worth it. Any kind of, you know, attempted suicide for attention, any way to coerce someone in a grand plan to take their own lives, it's one of those things that I'm sure when you're 17 does it, that to me, as an older, I'm 35, like to me that sounds absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just have faith that like time will pass, go through it, do something productive.
Mm-hmm. Just help someone who's in need. Help someone. If they're saying that they're considering suicide or that they're depressed, be a friend. Be a good girlfriend.
Good person.
You know, help. Be a good person. Just help that person out. Have some empathy.
And I want to tell you, as a mom, like one thing that the doctors always tell me is that their cerebral cortex is not fully developed until you're 25. So that a lot of people don't have accountability. They don't have a big sense of accountability. But what I will tell you is that you're not going to be 17, 18 forever. And that's something you got to live with. And mm-hmm. to know that someone, mm-hmm. at some point, your consciousness will catch up with you if you are a normal human. And it, just to have somebody's blood on your hands like that for the rest of your life, it's got to be awful.
Yeah, right. And one other little aspect of this decision in the sentencing that I thought was very important is that the judge says that after this is all said and done, she is not to profit in any way from the sale of movie rights, book rights, or anything like that.
Good.
So I think that's something that, I don't know if it's in a lot of court cases, but it's important that it's part of it.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, you want to tease what's about to happen?
There is a crowdfunding website for white supremacists, really. There's going to be a new pot-style Disneyland. We'll tell you where and when. And Trump's going on vacation.
Okay.
We'll look at the vacation schedules of previous presidents as well and see how it compares. And then a boob towel.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Young Turks. A few TYT lives for you. I'm loving these tweets. So D Bell says, unfortunately, he will be in a club fed. Wish it was a worse place so he learns what life is like. I think you mean a club med.
No, club fed.
What's club fed?
At least what I know from Ace Ventura.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's instead of a club med for federal criminals. You know, when you say a low security prison.
Yeah, club you're fed. Right. Because it's not considered a violent offense. Although there are a ton of people with nonviolent offenses in our prison system. Anyway, but if you're rich, you get treated differently. Male McButta, Mal McButta says 6/8 of my favorite panel members of all time on the show this Friday. How did I get so lucky?
Wow. Awesome. I'm not going to do the math because I'm afraid it won't make me feel good about myself. But I think that we'll see. Thank you, Ish, tentatively.
And Miri says, I'm glad the judge banned her from being able to make money off the story. No Lifetime movie bullshit. Yes.
Yeah, but you stay tuned for the Lifetime movie, whatever her name was, but like a strange permutation of it.
Yeah.
Where it's like Schmishmel Schmarter story.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's do it. Let's go to the next story.
Okay. It finally happened for all you folks that want to give money to alt-right YouTube personalities. They have a new crowdfunding website. You may have heard of Patreon for traditional YouTubers. Well, the alt-right has their own, and it's called Hatreon. Hatreon. Here is a look at the website. Hatreon. It is a place where you can click on any of these beloved alt-right YouTubers and give donations to their new initiatives. For those of you who don't know what Patreon is one of those things where you like can subscribe to your favorite YouTuber, give them like $10 every month, and then you can get perks or you can just do it out of the goodness of your heart. The thing with Patreon is it has hate speech standards. So if you espouse hatred, Patreon, and Jack, he's a YouTuber, one of the nicest people I've ever met. They put together some rules saying you can't actively espouse hate speech and use our platform, so they got kicked off. And this is a place started by Cody Wilson that allows you to support the initiatives of some of your favorite alt-right personalities. I almost said alt-white. There's no alt, it's white personalities. And so I looked on it to see like what kind of things are they doing. And in addition to some of them being like reestablishing the patriarchy and you know, taking off the yoke of Jewish controlled media. Here's one from Sam Hyde. He just wants to do an interactive video game. He wants to do a GoFundMe project called Go F Me, is the working title. And then a car review show. Like a low budget Top Gear, no title yet.
That sounds fun.
they're really, some of them are just delightful ideas. It's like, you know, in my spare time, I want to do my other passion project besides hating people of color and trolling well-meaning liberal minds.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I live in a reality where I'm always faced with discrimination because I'm a person of color. So when I hear people be appalled to see the people who are open about there. But it's just like the reality, like it's like what do you want? Like my people are from, I'm a diaspora person, so my people came from Africa on slave ships. They were taken to Puerto Rico, they were brought here. We did not ask to come here and we've been paying for it ever since. And it's like these people who really want to be able to say, we hate you, go back. There's not going to be a mass exodus of people of color. We're not getting on a ship and going back. That's not going to happen. At some point we're going to have to, and I think it's Hatreon, because I think the owner thought it was cute.
That
it has the word hate in it, because he was like, oh, it's a cute little pun or whatever. But it's just like at some point, like when you hear white dudes that are so angry about us being here, and women, white women, they don't like you either. You're also secondary to them. It's just at this point, it's just like this shit is all ridiculous.
So earlier this week, we did this story about how Jeff Sessions and the Justice Department are planning on going after universities that implement affirmative action.
Right.
And it's because they feel like it's discriminating against white students. And so there was an analysis done to see which students actually suffer the most from affirmative action. And
if you want to be racist about
it, Asian students and Indian students, because if you want to look at academics, they do better academically. Right. In fact, if you do away with affirmative action, the group that suffers the most is white women, which is kind of amazing. So anyway, I mean, it is what it is. Be careful what you wish for. But you know, just quickly going back to Hatreon, do you booze?
I think it's hot.
Like, do you booze? Like, you want to, I mean, okay, so it exists. And now there's a platform available for people to fund this type of rhetoric and this type of speech. I mean, look, I believe in a free marketplace of ideas. I believe in debating ideas instead of censoring them. And I obviously don't agree with the alt-right. We obviously don't get along. But I do believe in free speech. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, you know, if they want a way of funding the content that they put out there, I'm not gonna get in that way, in the way.
I tell you what, it was an amazing little rabbit hole to go down today, watching the videos of these folks. Like, some of them are actually funny. And they just go like joke. There's one guy who did, he had a joke and that was quoted in this article. Mark Zuckerberg was able to pull off a quote, warm handshake, Photoshop, in only 7 to 10 tries, down from his previous record of 16. It was like, oh, that's a joke about Mark Zuckerberg not being a very personable person. It was like a solid little joke and I enjoyed it. And not this guy, but other ones are like going along, funny joke. I hate Jewish people.
I know.
Women can't do anything.
Well, here's another thing that I find pretty fascinating. Look, we're living in a really interesting time where people feel comfortable about being transparent in regard to their bigotry or their homophobia or their xenophobia, all of that stuff. They feel like it's totally fine. I'm gonna go ahead and put myself out there. And I think that it's important that transparency is something that's discussed, because I think for a really long time, this country was in denial about our race problem and our bigotry problem, xenophobia problem, and now it's out there. And so it allows us to at least discuss it in an honest way. But also, look, you're putting your face out there and saying these hideous things. And that could have ramifications, so.
I agree.
You know, if you wanna do it. I'm not standing in the way. I like fighting ideas with information and education and debating, you know?
And you do it well. But and I'm with you. Do booze? Do you booze? And mm-hmm. she said. But you know what? It's funny. I do agree with that. I think that also you think about these groups because I was at Politicon and I saw them recruiting some of the young people that I was talking to. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important for white people to speak about their fears and about being able to express what they've learned about race, because a lot of kids who are disenfranchised, who are lonely, who are depressed, are recruited by these groups, and they find a home wherever it is. Hate has a place for people who are hurt, because hurt people hurt people. So when I think about these groups, I'm with you. If you want to do that, there are people doing that already. Like, we get shocked when we hear about racism on YouTube. Racism lives on YouTube constantly. There is a comment on one of my videos that says, "I did not know monkeys could talk." Mm-hmm. So I get, I mean, I that's, see it on that's YouTube.
That's horrible, but yeah. It's pretty tame for YouTube comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, there's some pretty terrible stuff on you. Yeah, and it is what it is. People, you know, hide behind their anonymity, and that's something that we've been talking about for such a long time. And now they're coming out there, and they're like, "I'm not anonymous anymore." Okay, right. I think all these terrible things, and okay, put yourself out there. It is what it is.
Yeah, this web. It's not the only. What is it? Hatrion? Is that how it's pronounced?
No, he said Hatrion.
Hatrion. Oh, Hatrion. I keep forgetting. Hatrion will not give them the satisfaction of hearing me pronounce it correctly. It was created by Cody Wilson, who is a self-described old anarchist who was on the list of Wired's like 50 most dangerous people in 2015 because mm-hmm. he put out like 3D blueprints for like printing guns. Mm-hmm. Untraceably, and he had like the backing of 16 congresspeople and the Cato Institute. But it's weird, yeah, when you're talking about like for white people to share their whatevers, it's like I think one of my biggest fears is emotional vulnerability.
Yeah.
And communicating my true feelings.
It's
really sad. I don't know how. I just break down and tell a joke whenever I get close to my actual feelings.
When you get awkward?
Yep, gets really, really bad. All right, let's move on to our next story of the day. President Trump is going on vacation. Wouldn't you know it, it's his first official vacation. Here he is seen leaving the Oval Office. Let's take that photo of him. First photo. Timeliness is always great. Timing is not necessary. Okay, it was a visual gag, we'll just go right past it. The president is going on hit. There he is. See, it would have been great if an orange slug showed up when I said, "Here's the president slithering his way out of the." Thank you. Thank you for that pity laugh. Okay.
That was good.
Yes, it would have been fantastic, and it's one of those visual gags that'll play well on Sirius XM later. All right. He will be spending 17 days at his private club in New Jersey to take a much-needed break from the place he spends most of his time, Crazy Town. How does the president, here is the statement by the Washington Post count on Thursday. By the end of this vacation, Trump will have taken 53 days at leisure, compared to Obama's 15 vacation days at the end of August during his own first term as president. Trump has to date almost doubled the former president's trips to the links. Moreover, Obama played 17 rounds of golf by the end of August in 2009. Trump has played 33 times that are known about before heading to Bedminster. This while saying once, actually multiple times, he went after Obama for his time on the links and his vacation, saying, "Don't take vacations, what's the point? If you're not enjoying your work, you're in the wrong job." Thoughts?
I mean, wow. We knew that this is what was going to happen. And so there was a lot of tough talk from him during Obama's administration about the amount of time he took off. And like, here's the thing, being president is the hardest job in the world. Yes. Literally the hardest job in the world, right? You have to make incredibly difficult decisions. There's a reason why presidents come in looking one way and then 4 years later, in some cases 8 years later, look like they've aged 20 years. Yeah. It's a difficult, stressful job. And so, look, I think that they should have some time off just so they can do their jobs effectively. But since Trump has gotten elected, every weekend he goes golfing, right? He takes a ton of time off, doesn't want to do intelligence briefings, doesn't want to do the hard work. I'm curious why he wanted to be president in the first place, other than trying to benefit financially from this position of power. But the thing that just gets to me was the nonstop criticism toward other presidents for taking time off. And then he has the audacity to take an insane amount of time off in this just first 7 months. You know? So it is what it is.
I mean, I think he wanted to be president because to him it's the ultimate popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And now that it's gone awry because people really hate him. And there are people who have dedicated their lives to showing him how many people hate him. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, like I've said here before, I am a true believer that all politicians are negotiable to some degree and they all have their issues. But the hard-on that Trump had for Obama and the constant lies and always pinpointing everything about Obama. And now when you listen to Trump support, the Trump blind supporters, I call them the bite the nose to spite their facers. Mm-hmm. Like when you listen to them and there's always a defense for every single thing that he does. But when you go back and look at the tweets to Obama when he was in office, like, how dare you go on your vacation? You know, why is Michelle wearing a shirt where you can see her shoulders? Like every single thing now that he's doing it, there is a defense for this. So it's so obvious that the reason so many of you guys hated Obama was because he's black. And you know, and I remember when Obama played golf the first time. I remember I didn't know black people could play golf. And I remember all the stuff.
It's just a lot of country clubs still have rules where they can't.
That's insane. And isn't Tiger Woods is black, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's Koblenzian. He's everything. That's what he called himself.
Yeah, it's amazing. To compare Trump to other presidents after their first year. So these are the total vacation days taken by presidents at the end of their first year. Carter took only 19 vacation days. Ronald Reagan took 42 days of vacation. George H.W. Bush took 40. Bill Clinton, 21. George W., 69. And Obama ended his first year with 26 vacation days, according to the Annenberg Public Policy Center's fact check. And how can you compare this? Because a lot of times, when asked if the president is playing golf today, his cabinet tries to
hide it.
Because he plays golf all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's so crazy.
According to your numbers, if you're a Republican, you have to take a minimum of 40 vacation days. Because they all have 40 and above on the first year.
So weird.
But that lady with the eyebrows, I can't. Sarah, I can't.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Yeah, I can't.
It's okay, she can, she does. So Obama spent $100 million in the first 8 years, according to a conservative estimate. It's not a conservative estimate, it's from a conservative group's estimate. Mar-a-Lago, according to most estimates, has cost us $20 million so far. Other estimates go as high as 50. One of those estimates, which you can track at your leisure, is the Trump Golf Count, this website. That is up, so just Google Trump Golf Count. I don't remember what the website actually is, but it'll tell you the running taxpayer cost of sending the president to various golf excursions. They have the count at 41 rounds of golf.
But he went on vacation today, right? So I'm like, quick, somebody break into the White House and run the country for real. Let's go.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if they said, because the story is he's leaving town, and while he's gone, they're going to fix the heating and air conditioning, which has got to be just a made up story to get him away.
They got to fix that dump up.
Just like, please leave. And I don't conspiracy theorize very often. But I feel like this is time for John Kelly and Sessions to put additional personal listening devices in every corner of the White House in their ridiculous search for leaks so that they can monitor everybody every time, everywhere.
Yeah.
That leak thing today drove me crazy because it's so transparent. It's like you're trying to leak. You're trying to stomp down on leaks because the only time these leaks came out, they embarrassed the president.
Yeah.
They embarrassed him. It's like, the leaks, the last three leaks were like when the president said he had a good phone call.
I think Mike Pence is leaking.
I think it's Reince. I think Reince was like, you know, it was really fun to work for the president. I wish him the best.
And by the way, I'm like, making the Mike Pence thing up because it's a joke. Like, he'd want to be president if he got if Trump got impeached. Anyway, I'm joking. I don't want anyone to take that seriously.
But we do know there is a new level of petty in the White House. Like, somebody's in there doing the dirt.
All right, we have to get to the titty towel story.
Titty towel, let's do it.
So, yeah, you know what? Let's do it now because we're running out of time, and I think it's fun. We will save the cannabis desert town paradise for Monday's show. It's not that time.
Okay. All right, let's do it. The ta-ta towel. I gotta go to that. All right. We've hyped it a lot, and now you're gonna see it. For all you ladies who need help drying out your ta-tas, I give you the ta-ta towel. Let's take a look. Also check him out on Facebook, facebook.com/tatatowel.
I like your face right now. You gotta say this.
I just don't. I don't understand. I don't understand it. Look, I read into it a little bit because I thought it was fascinating. Like, why would people actually need this? And so, you know, when it comes to women who are nursing, it could be very useful. So, more power to you. At least there's one good reason for it.
The leakage.
Right, because if you're nursing, yeah, the leakage is a problem, and so this could be useful, and I totally understand that. If you are not nursing, I don't get why you can't just use a regular towel.
So do you wear this? I'm sorry. Do you? I just
want to wear. I'm wearing one right now.
Do you wear it under a shirt, or is this? Do you just rock?
That's interesting.
Rock the towel.
We have a graphic. Maybe. 20. Can we throw up graphic 20? That shows it in use. Post shower.
So is the point to, like, it's a hot summer day and you want it to, like, take care of, like, under boob sweat?
So here is from the horse's mouth, Erin Robertson, the creator of the Tata towel. She says, I tried everything. I tucked washcloths under my breasts to dry them out. I tried dumping baby powder all over me. I even put a t-shirt on and tucked it under my boobs. But the washcloths look ridiculous. The baby powder made me look more like dough. And the t-shirt was making me sweat even more. I think it's a combo of boob sweat. Under, in my experience, under my boobs, they sweat a lot. And so if I had this after I got out of the shower, I wouldn't have to spend a lot of time as my body's still warm. And there's still some moisture under the boob. If I had this to just kind of soak it up as I'm cooling down, I wouldn't have those embarrassing under boob things.
I nurse
also too. Underwire bras, am I right, ladies?
Yeah.
It's like someone doing this all day.
I just think if you have a problem with under boob sweat, I understand that you need something to help you out with that because it's embarrassing when you're in public and sometimes it can go through to your clothes and it'll be visible. But also, this is such a like bulky, clunky thing to wear under your clothes. Like.
I don't think it's under the clothes.
No, she was. It's a towel. It's towel fabric. It's
I'm not going to go out in public wearing that.
If
you want to, cool. But I just wouldn't feel comfortable wearing that out in public. And if I wear a shirt or a top or a dress over it, it's so bulky that it would show.
And you're still going to sweat because it's a towel. It's really thick.
And it's going to make my boobs even sweat. Exactly, because it's going to keep them super warm.
I'm a boy, and I have. Male parts. And
I was just gonna say that. Where's the ball towel? Like, they're always trying to make women. I get tired of hearing about women having to address their hygiene constantly. I mean, I talk about this in my stand-up. It's so annoying. There's always like women, Summer's Eve, massing. Where's the ball towel? Like, why?
Because they get sweaty. I'd buy one. I'd buy two.
You're not gonna put a towel down there. It's too hot, and it's the same thing for us.
Do guys do anything about their testicles?
Like, here's the thing, is it's a swamp down there sometimes.
Right. Right, I hear that.
It gets real soupy.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Because you've got hair down there, ostensibly. Mm-hmm. If you haven't nared it off like I do, and it's not. It's the opposite of moisture wicking. It's moisture accumulating. Mm-hmm. And so there's gold bond medicated powder that I, you know, when I'm it just kind of all uh-huh. over the place. But you don't want to use talcum powder because talcum powder in women has been attributed to ovarian cancer. Feels weird putting it down there. And so if I've gone running uh-huh. and then I take a shower, and that's what I meant by the boob thing, is afterwards, like, I'll dry off real good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my body heat's still up, and so I'm still gonna sweat. And so, like, afterwards, I'm just like, oh God, if I had some kind of dedicated drying system around the gonads that would allow me not to have to, because then I take a towel and I'm like shoving it on the side.
A banana hammock, but it's made of like the towel material,
yep.
like terry cloth.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fascinating.
A banana robe.
Yeah. Look, I like innovative ideas, yeah. and just because this isn't for me doesn't mean it's not for someone else. Maybe some women love it. Maybe they're going to use it and they'll be happy about it.
But one thing they said was that this was to like address, not to kind of fall into the craze of social media.
Yeah,
it's like every other advertisement on Facebook is a different type of bra for women. It's yeah. this one that you do that.
I'm going to keep it real, and maybe this is inappropriate to admit, but I don't like bras. So
finally, someone said it.
Anytime that I can get away with not wearing one, I will not wear one.
Yeah. What about bralettes? That was a thing.
Bralettes are fine.
And that thing,
I just rather not wear anything.
That thing doesn't work for those of us. Like, I nursed a kid and I thought about it. I thought about it. I looked at it. I was like, how could that benefit me? If I'm nursing, because she talks about it, right?
Because it'll absorb the
the milks. Because you don't want
it. Smart. When you're that's lactating. What I need. I mean, I don't need, but I would need if I was lactating.
But can you imagine somebody walking out in public that's nursing, and then they just pop the towel off?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were looking at you like in Graphic 18. Someone just walking down Rodeo Drive. Like, if we throw up Graphic 18 again, just hey.
Yeah, the crazies will go bananas.
It's me, Cynthia.
She's beautiful, by the way.
Gorge.
She is.
Yeah.
But I think if you take this one off, then the other one comes off because of the way that it's made, it goes, right?
It's go, like girl. Anchor.
I don't know.
In the words of Anna, do you booze.
Do you booze, exactly.
You so do you booze.
It's something you like. Exactly, yeah. If it helps your tatas, I'm all for it.
And I'm all about women getting rich.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Go, girl.
Oh my gosh. There was
all
some,
right, yeah. guys. Well, we don't have time for another story, but I do want to thank you guys for watching. Thank you to Ida Rodriguez and Brett Ehrlich for doing the show with me today. Ida, tell people where they can find you.
Tonight I'll be at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. And you can find me on my website, funnyaida.com. And all my shows are there. I'm going on an all-woman tour, so.
Get it.
We're going out on.
Where are you going? Where's the tour?
We're going to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We're going to Modesto. Awesome. And we're going to Maryland. It's called the Every Woman Tour. And it's with April Macy and Shantae Wayans. Mm-hmm. And we have a lesbian on the tour. We have a mom on the tour. And we have a liberal chick that does whatever the fuck she wants on the tour.
So make sure you guys check Ida out. And thank you again for watching. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.